It's the 8 for 52 podcast. Here's Bushy.
Yes, g'day, Bushy here again on the 8 for 52 podcast ship, taking the helm for episode 9 of season 2 as always. It's Sixers week, so the entire podcast is dedicated to the biggest game in town. And welcoming to the co-host duties today is a former My Story guest in season 1, a soon-to-be newly capped Hong Kong-China player in this weekend's Hong Kong Sixers. Welcome back to the 8 for 52 podcast, Sahal Mavankar.
Hi, Bushy. Thanks for having me up.
The crowd goes mad. Very excited. You're playing this weekend, so that's what we're going to focus on mostly. That's why we dragged you in here. We'll talk about it in Sky Plaza Road, but just quickly, are you excited?
Very excited. Very excited.
Is it nerves or excitement or just can't wait to get out there or a bit of everything?
No, a little bit of both. I think a little bit nervous, but very much looking forward to it.
Well, we were talking before we started recording. You haven't actually had a session with the full Hong Kong Sixers team yet. Is that correct? You've got training coming up. We're recording on a Monday. We should give a plug, a very nice thank you to Hong Kong Cricket Club. We're in the Sportsman's Bar recording on a Monday, but you've got training on Wednesday, is it?
Yeah, the national team have been away, so they're all back. I think they came back a couple of days ago. So we've got a couple of training sessions this week, I think.
So obviously you know the Cat and you know Jason. You've played with them before, but it's going to be first time playing with Ihsan and Zeeshan and Benny and Imran?
Yep, I've played against most of them, but playing with them I haven't done before, so looking forward to that too.
Right, well, we should get on to the show, shall we?
Yep, let's get going.
Giddy up.
And now it's time for Outs and Ins with all last week's action in Hong Kong. Take us away, Bushy.
Yep, time for Outs and Ins. We'll cover all of the last weekend's games of cricket here in Hong Kong, and you don't have to tip this week, Sahal, because there's no games of cricket to tip for. But the tally before we started, last week we had Siggy on. The guest was on 19. Aaron on 22, out to a pretty good lead at the moment, getting these games right. First game we're going to run through, Saturday Championship Division 1. It was here at HKCC, the SCC Lancers taking on the Gap Ramblers. SCC Lancers won the toss. They opted to bat. Forgot to bat. 47 all out in 15.2 overs. What happened there?
I actually came down midway. Well, I came down after about an hour of my session upstairs and came down to watch a little bit of the batting innings, and they were already all out, so I just went straight back upstairs.
Yeah, and it looks like they got done in by Daddy Mapp, the youngster speedster. 5 for 13 off 5 overs. Mayur Patel also getting a threefer in reply. Well, there wasn't much of a reply. They did it in a canter, 6.1 overs, with Jack Meadows getting in the runs, 36 not out, and Jack Dorling, 12 not out. So well done to the Gap Ramblers there, and a player of the match for Danny Mapp, for he's got his Michelle. Both Siggy and I pick Gap Ramblers, so we get a tip there. Now let's move across to KCC in Saturday Div 1. The Tartars versus the Sky Warriors. And this one was on YouTube. Did you catch any of it?
I didn't, no.
I was down at the ground there for a while doing some technical setup. The Tartars struggled. They got 185 for 8 on 35. On what was a pitch that looked like it was going to be 200 plus for 35 overs. They did struggle with only Vikash Vashwani getting a half century, 50 for 65. And in reply, what did the Sky Warriors do?
Pranav pretty much single-handedly won that game. So 113 not out off 77 balls. So a very good knock from him. In support was Arezdar.
Yeah.
He scored a 52. So
he did. I was really impressed. Arezdar opened the batting, the youngster. And he batted all the way through. He only put on 53 because Pranav was going nuts. So he was doing the dotted around, get the single, rotate. And he was on 20 for most of the game. And then I think he just put on some extra runs at the end to get over the line, got his half century. That's a big win. 189 for 2 after 28. The Sky Warriors win by 8 wickets. Player of the match, Pranav Shah, of course, with his 113 not out. Where are we going now? Over to Division 2 on Saturday at GDB. Both Siggy and I picked the Sky Warriors in that one. Got me in trouble at KCC, but we were correct. HKU versus Kai Tak. How did HKU go in their 35?
They put on 143. I think they probably would have, at the halfway stage, thought they were a little bit short, but by the looks of it,
Well, I would have thought 143 is well short of GDB. HKU. Kaitak came out chasing just 144 for victory and were pulled out for 125.1. Big win for HKU with Krishna getting a 41. Nitesh Hemlani, who will be down here joining us shortly to do his Challenge League if he gets out of a meeting, getting 27. And Jaya Ramesh, the left arm speedster, I believe, 19 with the bat. With the ball, HKU, it's all HKU. Tiran Ranasinghe getting a Michelle, 5 for 29, and that got him player of the match. Let's move to Sunday Elite Division 1. Two games yesterday, both Hong Kong Cricket Club teams featuring. I keep forgetting, but Siggy and I both picked HKU in that game. So we're doing well at the moment. In this game, I'll just say that I picked USRC Elite, and Siggy, of course, being a HKCC man, picked the Wanderers. There's a big glitchy, didn't really work for the scoreboard here, so we're going to have to make it up, but you know most of it. USRC Elite opted to field, winning the toss. Not the best decision, it would seem, because the Wanderers just went mad. And I didn't know when I tipped that the Cat was back.
Yep, and he scored, I think, 146. 146, so...
Yeah, that's not fair. I assumed, like the other players, he was going to fly in during the week or something with the rest of the teams on Wednesday. I pull up the scores, have a look, and they're out in the middle. Matt Rosley got a 77, and then the Cat just went mad. There was a really short boundary on the pitch they were using as well, and he took it to full advantage. I lost count of how many sixes and fours. In reply, what did the USRC Elite do?
Top scorer for USRC was Kraja.
I'm not really sure. That's, like I said, this is all sort of messed up. I think Akbar probably top scored. He got himself a half century from memory, but our scoring system's not so great. So they were all out for 165 in 36. A massive win for the Wanderers, winning by 194 runs, it says here at least. Well, it says innings break as well. But
Path with a fifer.
Did he? Oh, my goodness. Look at that. Oh, he did too. And I think Danny got a handful as well. Or did he get fifer as well?
Danny got a fifer on the Saturday.
Yeah, on the Saturday. I saw the two photos of them on the Instagram. So Path Srivastava getting himself 5 for 36. Wow, that's destroying. Good work to the Wanderers. Let's go down to KCC. I was down there broadcasting. You were down there playing, Sahar. You won the toss. Ninad Shah, the captain, elected to bat again on that pitch that we played on Saturday, the Tartars versus Sky Warriors. You guys went out to bat. How'd you go?
We were probably about 200 short. Probably about 200 short. We were 142 all out.
I was saying on broadcast the Scorpions had to somehow figure out a way to get to 200 because the pitch wasn't doing a great deal. It was just good lines and lengths. I want to put a shout out to Roy Lamsam, who was last week's My Story guest. He was bowling from the pavilion end over the wicket to the left-handed Kinshit Shah. And like obviously the ability to drag one down leg to a left-hander bowling over the wicket is so easy. He didn't do it once. Yep. Just bowled every single ball on the leg stub and nothing. Kinshit could do nothing about it. He was out there. He top scored for you guys 51 off 98 because he was just having to dot up. There was line and length, and we are going to touch on your ball, okay? I talked with the umpires. They said of everyone that went out there in the middle yesterday at KCC, you look like you're in the most solid form, and you hit 20 runs. You didn't run once. That's five fours that you got your 20 off.
Yeah,
and then you got what Jay Davidson describes as the best ball he's ever bowled in his life. It's on Instagram for KCC, and I'll be putting a highlights package up on the YouTube later on. But it was just a brilliant ball. You thought it was going away. It nipped back in, took the top of your off stump, and that's pretty much where it started to fall apart, right?
Yep. That's where we were 30. I think when I got out, we were 30 for three. So obviously that put Kinshit in a bit of a bad situation as well, but obviously he stuck around.
He did a good partnership with his brother and the captain, Ninad. But just in the end, 142, not enough. I'm going to run through some useless stats. KCC didn't bowl an extra since from when Samad Khan stopped bowling. So that was somewhere in the 15th or 16th over, or up to 20th maybe. So it would have been 25 overs of no extras. The last boundary scored by the Scorpions was at 32.4 overs. So he went 12 overs without a boundary. In the batting innings, Mo Khan opening with Taran Langani. They scored a two down towards Cow Corner. That was the first two of the game.
Okay.
Scorpions did not score a two or a three. That was ones and dots and a handful of bouts. And the last stat, which you're probably definitely not going to enjoy, is that the Scorpions scored 142 all out. Nazakat Khan up here scored 146.
We probably need a new case.
The Cat outscored the entire Scorpions team. In reply, the Templars did it in a canter, 143 for three. Jamie was going large. We'll have a quick talk about that Atkinson dismissal as well. Jamie was smashing. He was 41 off 19, four fours, four sixes. Ninad goes to the 14-year-old Viamata. You're going to bowl from the pavilion end where Jamie had already put one up into the tennis court, which is the fourth floor of the pavilion.
That was one of the biggest sixes I've ever
seen. Yeah, he believes he's put it up there once before, but this was bigger than he's ever hit. And so Ninad says, there you go, Veer, you're going to bowl to Jamie Atkinson. And I'm on broadcast going, this is either the most genius idea that's ever happened, or he's going to get, the young fella's not going to have any confidence left for the rest of his life. Bowled two perfect deliveries that had Jamie standing up, then bowled one outside off. Jamie decided to try to whip it away with the wrist, got the feather, and straight through to David Takir, and Veer got his biggest wicket of the season, I'm sure.
He's been bowling well.
Yeah, he has. He's been in the wickets a lot. So Jamie got 41. Top scorer was Chris Carter, not out on 54. There, three wickets down. A three for Wakas with the ball gets him player of the match, three for 17. That was the other thing. 20 overs from the bowling club end between Wakas, Bakat and Dan Pascoe. It was 17 in the end because Dan only managed to get through seven. So 17 overs from the bowling club end, six for 23. They were just unplayable.
They bowled very well.
Yeah, they just kept their line. I wasn't turning on it wasn't a Turner's pitch. It was a brand new pitch, but they just bowled their lines and lengths. So that was a big win. The Templars bouncing back after their loss to the Tony Turners last game. I picked the Scorps. I picked the Templars, of course. Siggy picked the Scorps. So that means at the end, we're tied. So the guests are on 23. Aaron's on 26. I'm keeping my lead at 3 points. No job for you this week, so you get out of any issues in ins and outs. We're going to move on to Sky Plaza Road very shortly.
Hi, I'm Roy Lamsam from the Kowloon Cricket Club, and you're on the 8 for 52 podcast with Bushy.
There's the big bird. It's Sky Plaza Road time as all the teams are flying in to Hong Kong for the Hong Kong Sixers this weekend. They will be featuring one Sahal Malvankar, who's with us. And you're going to be playing in the first game of the Hong Kong Sixers on Friday. It's up against South Africa. You looking forward to it?
Yeah, looking forward to it. Yeah.
It's going to be a big one. We're going to run through all the games. That's at 8:30 a.m. for the early birds. I'm sure I'll be down there as well to watch on, and I'm working. You reckon you're a chance against the South Africans?
Definitely.
I've
looked at their team. We've got a strong team ourselves, full of match winners. So definitely backing us to get two wins out of two in the group stage.
With 10 games a day, do you put together a strategy for each team you play, or is it just too many teams you just watch and hope and go out there and watch the next game, go, okay, we know they do that and do this, or how does it work?
I think as the tournament goes on, we'll be around anyway from the first game in the morning, so we'll get a chance to watch the other teams and then see what happens from there.
Well, game two at 9:25 a.m, England versus Nepal. It's still currently an Englishman, unless you... Bobby, you're playing for Hong Kong. So how are you feeling? You think, we don't know who's in the England team, so it's hard to pick this one.
Yeah, don't know who's in the England team, but obviously always got to back them and hopefully get a chance to play against them later on in the tournament too.
That'll be a big game for Nepal starting off as well. And another one featuring one associate, one ICC team at 10:20 a.m. Pakistan versus UAE. Should be some support for that one down at Tin Kwong Road.
Yeah, I think there'll be quite a few fans that have... both the Pakistan team in mind and the Nepal team in mind, so should be a good game.
The Nepal's fans are just mad. They're going to be down there. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing as well. Who do you think, Pakistan versus UAE?
It's UAE, not Nepal.
No, Nepal was against England. Sorry.
Pakistan
versus UAE.
Okay. I think typically I've looked at Pakistan's team and they've got quite a few players that I recognise. So I think Pakistan will get their job done there.
And I think all these associate teams that are playing first against the big sides, they're just going to go out there and have fun, like Hong Kong. You've got nothing to lose. You're one of the four associate teams in the Sixers. The next game, 11:15 a.m. They run through quickly. Sri Lanka versus Oman. The Sri Lanka team looks all right.
I've seen the Sri Lanka team. I recognise a couple of players from there too, so that should be good.
Next up, then this is a good one. You're an Englishman playing for Hong Kong, and it'll be a Hong Konger playing for New Zealand. New Zealand versus Hong Kong at 12:10 p.m. You're going up against Ronnie Kapoor.
I haven't played against him before, so looking forward to that too. Hopefully, we can get the job done against him.
The leg spinner into the Sixers will be fun to watch. Yeah. Especially, that's the other thing. I only realised last week the Sixers, this format, they've always been on turf, on Astro. This one's on turf.
Yeah.
So
I prefer that, but obviously I haven't been here previously for the Sixers tournament.
I'm looking forward to the idea. I don't know what sort of pitch Jassim's going to put together. Is it going to be a flat track bully so everyone can score big? I'm assuming that's what people come for. It's called the Hong Kong Sixers, not the Hong Kong Wickets.
Yeah.
But it'll be a tough job for Ronnie there if it's just a flat track. But he's got all the tricks in the book, the youngster.
I think it's going to be a tougher job for all the bowlers.
Yeah, all the seamers. It's just like, where do I put it? Where do I not put it? And then we'll see. The next game on Friday, it is Bangladesh versus Oman. First time seeing Bangladesh on the Friday. And Bangladesh, bringing the good side as well. Everybody bringing a really good side.
Yeah, I think they've got... There's a couple of teams, obviously, with a few younger players, but which obviously people haven't heard of them before. But in a couple of years' time, they'll probably be massive on...
That's what I love about it. It's like a joint of players that may have just recently retired and some really good up-and-coming youngsters that... Back when the old Sixers did as well, when there was a young Sachin coming and whatever, and now we're going to see these players and then in 5 years' time go, oh my goodness, I saw him at the ground on the Tin Kwong Road.
Yeah.
That's the first section of the Friday Sixers. Then we get into the massive games on Friday. 2 p.m, India versus Pakistan.
Yeah. I actually can't wait to watch that myself. So it should be a good one.
I want to see the crowd.
Yeah,
because it's just going to be a split of Indian sort of Indian flags, and it's also Diwali as well, isn't it? So it's going to be a huge game. 2 p.m. for that one, followed by the other blockbusters, England versus Australia, 2:55 p.m. Australia, I like their side they've brought.
There's a lot of big names in there. A lot of big names.
They've come to play. Dan Christian and his team, James Pattinson as well. So that to me, I'm thinking that's the strongest side this year, but we'll see. So obviously I'm going Australia in this one. What are you going for?
I'm going to have to back England, even though we don't want the team.
We know the Australian team. No idea who England is, but you know, you've got to do what you've got to do. That's at 2:55 p.m. 3:45 p.m. South Africa versus New Zealand.
That's one from our group, I think. So obviously we'll be watching quite closely, and obviously depending on our result in the morning, we'll be cheering on for
South Africa's the most winningest Hong Kong Sixers team, I believe. So
I didn't know that.
I think they've won the most five or six. So they'll be looking to go back to get another one. They won the last one, whenever it was, 2017. Finish off the last three games on the Friday. We don't know who's playing on Saturday because it's all to be confirmed. But 4:40 p.m, Sri Lanka versus Bangladesh.
Another big game, to be fair.
Huge. Yeah, that's one of the three big preview games they've been putting out on social media.
Yeah, should be... Just like the rest of the tournament, it should be a game full of excitement, and I think them sort of games at the back end will probably be deciding who goes through and who finishes second, who finishes third. So I think all them games at the back end of the day will be big ones to watch.
Australia versus Nepal, that's on the second. I do have a couple of games on the second, so that was the last game. The final game on Friday at 4:40 p.m. is Sri Lanka versus Bangladesh. The first game on Saturday, November 2nd, Australia versus Nepal at 8:30 a.m. That's going to have a huge crowd.
Yeah, a lot of people from Australia, and then you've also got the Nepalese fans who always come in big numbers.
I think the Australian supporters are going to be outnumbered 10-1 by the Nepal supporters. Yeah. They're going to be great. And the other one that is listed before it goes to be confirmed, India versus UAE at 9:25. So Australia and India both playing early on Saturday. So the early birds get to see the big guns as well. And then it'll go all the way through to Sunday. I don't know any other of the games at the moment. You'll be there.
Hopefully, definitely.
You'll definitely be there. I'll definitely be there. You should get your tickets if you haven't already. Go to Hong Kong Ticketing and grab yourself a 3-day pass. $580 for a 3-day pass is an absolute bargain. I just gave away two tickets, actually. We haven't mentioned that on the podcast. I should say shout out to the winners of the Hong Kong Sixers tickets from last week. And a thank you to Ryan Campbell for being the special voice for people having to guess. Yasmin Dazwani was the first one in. She was in really quick. She was scared, like, double playing the podcast last week to find the special voice.
Yeah.
And then she was at KCC at the time. I was playing Friday Masters League. I was a deep third. She's running down the stairs and screams, "Ryan Campbell!" at me. So she desperately wanted that three-day pass. And also Saad Ahmed was the other winner. So congratulations to Yaz and Saad. They'll be the Hong Kong Sixers this weekend as well, just like you and I. That's it for Sky Plaza Road. Always denied entry by the English gentry. Now we're driving Bentleys, playing 2020. Yep, time for the women's cricket wrap. Tammy Chu still unavailable at the moment, so Sahal's going to take us through, which is a fine thing because you're the head coach of the women's team up here at HKCC, aren't you?
Yeah, I lead the women's cricket over here, so the Willows, the Cavaliers, the New Diamonds team as well.
As Siggy pointed out last week, apparently Coach Sahal has a bit of a fan club with the women's cricket whenever he goes down there. There's lots of ooing and ahhing and cheering. Is this true? Or was Siggy trying to wind you up?
Oh, Siggy's trying to wind me up. There's a little bit of an ongoing joke about the Sahal's army.
I see.
I don't know where that's come from.
I think it's probably Siegfried Y that's been spreading that rumour. Let's do the women's cricket wrap. There was three games out at PKVR Reservoir on the 27th, but only one of them was played. Two games forfeited. We'll just quickly go through those ones. Lionesses forfeited against KCC Maidens, and the Eagles forfeited against your Cavaliers. So points go to KCC. I know we're in the sort of the mid part of the T20 season, so a bit of a slump. But the forfeits are getting a little out of control for mind. Each week I seem to see a team that's forfeited.
I think this week was a little bit different because there was a lot of people away with the holidays and stuff.
Yeah,
but hopefully should be getting full games in.
Well, there was one, and it was the big Craig and Gower Cricket Club derby. It was first game of the day, and then got underway. CCC Fung Wong versus the Sunrisers. So the youth team for Craig and Gower up against the might that is the Sunrisers. How did it go?
CCC Fung Wong scored 66 in their 20 overs for a loss of 5 wickets. And in reply, the Sunrisers chased the score down for 3 down in 7.4 overs, so it was quite a comfortable win in the end.
So for Fung Wong, things to take away, batted out their full 20, only lost 5 wickets. We've talked about Bianca Lowe before. She seems to be going along really well. She might end up in the Sunrisers shortly, scoring 15 out of the 66. Amy Lai also with a 9. Dorothea Chan had a day out, 40 off 25 with the bat, getting that run chase done in 7, and also took a wicket, 1 for 6. Karen Poon, who's been over in China as well with the Hong Kong China women's team, got a 3 for 10, and that made her player of the match. I'm not sure how these things are working. I would have thought Dorothea with a 40 and a wicket probably would have got it, but Karen Poon is the player of the match for the CCC Sunrisers, and both Siggy and I picked the Sunrisers because we know how strong that team is, and I'm not even sure if Carrie Chan played, but she didn't take any wickets if she did, but she might have been missing, and it's still a big win to the Sunrisers. So that's it for the women's cricket wrap this week. I don't believe there's any games on next weekend because of the Sixers, so we'll cover it all again in a couple of weeks' time.
Thirty teams, 3 leagues, Hong Kong's finest. It's Challenge League time.
Yep, Challenge League time. Still Challenge League going on, even though the Sixers are on and everything. So we're going to have a look at Nitesh Hemlani joining us again. Hello to you, Nitesh.
Good morning, Bushy.
It is a morning. It's a Monday morning. It's odd. I feel weird. We're recording very early. I'm going to put the podcast out on Thursday, you see. So pre-Hong Kong Sixers. But we don't care about the Sixers in the Challenge League. We're going to talk the game is that just went past on the 27th, starting at Gin Drinkers Bay. It's Madras CC versus the HKUST Challenge League team. HKUST won the toss, elected to bowl. We both picked HKUST. How did it go?
Went badly for UST. Well, not so badly at the start. They started well with the ball. They got a few early wickets. The Madras CC were 53 for 4 at 8.4 overs, but then they get a low order rally, as we so often see in Challenge League. Samsuddin, 43 not out of 37 balls. Nohu Bashir, 36 of just 18. They got 164 for 6. 30 extras.
I was literally about to ask you, because no retirements in that game.
Yeah.
Top score, 43. The next, 36. They got 164 somehow. Oh, a bit errant from the HKUST bowlers. And in reply?
Yeah, well, that ended up costing them. They actually started quite positively. And at one point, they were 99 for 2 inside the 13th over. So you thought they were going well. They lost two wickets in the space of three balls and just collapsed. 99 for 2 became 138 all out with one over to spare. Maluhar taking four wickets for Madras CC, three for Samsuddin, back up his great innings, a player of the match performance from him.
Is that the Maluhar that plays for Nepal?
No, it's a different Maluhar. Okay. I presume so.
He's a Maluhar M as well. The Madras CC win by 26 runs with 30 extras. So you know, I might want to have a look at that one, HKUST. So we need to keep an eye on Madras because we both tipped wrong on that one. The other game was at, oh, it was on the Flexi Mat at TKO, the Lantau Sloggers versus the Island Rangers. I went with Lantau because I like the name Sloggers. You went with the Island Rangers because you thought you knew something about Challenge League, and you did.
Slogging doesn't really pay off at Tsung Wan Oh when you got a flicks mat. The ball just skids through, stay low. Small boundaries can be tempting. Lantau Sloggers all out for 76, top score of 16, only three batters into double digits. Wickets shared with Island Rangers. As you mentioned, they've got a good core group of guys coming together to play regularly, the captain himself only bowling four balls for the last wicket of the innings. They struggled in the chase. The Sloggers made them work for it. They were 26 for 4, 57 for 5. But then Pankaj Thakur and Krishna Bharat, or Saurabh Saxena, sorry, and Pankaj Thakur put a partnership together, get them over the line. Shakil Huck, Niaz's cousin, if I'm not mistaken, Shakil Huck, 2 for 9 in his four overs. Abdul Osman, a graduate of Lantau CC's junior program, two wickets, but not enough for the Sloggers as they go down by five wickets.
Pankaj there, I just want to point on his 20, not out, five balls,
three sixes.
And a shout out to one of the Island Rangers bowlers, just because of the name that's entered into the Quick Heroes system. Two wickets for ASM captain Jaspreet Singh, manager operations.
I love that name. Very detailed. You know?
There's a lot of detail. There's four bits of detail. I don't know why it's in there. I'm assuming it's Jaspreet Singh. I'm not sure what his manager operations called, captain of. Anyway, you got the tip on that one. We're going to preview what games we've got coming up. I have nothing in my script, so you're going to have to talk me through it and so, when.
So a lot of games for this weekend obviously called off due to the sixes. Unfortunately, games that come thin on Saturday or Sunday are still going ahead because either India Club or CHK didn't want to absorb the cost of the booking. So cricket goes on. USRC Avengers are playing Yaut Simmong District on the Sunday, as are Nepal Rhinos against Serendib Lions. So Avengers versus Yaut Simmong will be an interesting game. Both teams have wins under their belt. I'm thinking Yaut Simmong District just because I like them and I know how well organized they are. I'm going to give them the nod, even though Avengers did get over the USRC derby rivals, the Mark Horrors.
Okay. I too like YTM, but just so we mix it up and I need to get a point back, I'll go the Avengers.
That should be a good game to watch.
Yeah, I like that one. And now the second game is Division 3, if I'm starting to learn properly.
Well, this is Division 2, Nepal Rhinos.
All gone up from Division 3. So, and Serendib Lions
hanging in there by a thread. But they got the guy, got the 7 for the last time it covered.
So the Serendib Lions almost got relegated down to Div 3. Yeah. And Nepal have just come up from Div 3. So this is going to be a cracker game as well.
It's going to be a great game.
What do you think?
Oof. Again, it's hard to pick against a team that has a guy who's just taken 7 wickets. But I'm going to do just that. I think Nepal Rhinos are going to learn from their first loss to Lama Power, come back stronger, backing the Nepal Rhinos.
I too will always back the Nepal Rhinos because I love their team and I love their passion for cricket. So we've got slightly different tips. So that game, they're both at Campton, did you say?
Both at Campton.
On
the Sunday.
On the Sunday. So still going on. If you're not at the sixes, I'm not sure why you wouldn't be. You should be at the sixes. But if you're not, head out to Cam Chin, get your passport and visa ready because you almost have to go across the border and watch some great Challenge League games. Thank you again, Nitesh. You'll see you again next week.
Thank you, Bashir.
And now it's time for Bushy's Birthday Bonanza.
Yep, time for some birthdays on the podcast, Sahal. Only one this week, but it's a massive one. I'll let you do the honours because it's a HKCC player.
Yeah, even I didn't know this, but it's Anshuman Rath's birthday from HKCC. So a big happy birthday to him. I think he's on tour.
He's in Cape Town. Yeah, he's during the tour, the pre-tour warm-up. His birthday is November 5, and he will be turning 27 on the 5th. That's it. One birthday. Happy birthday to Ange. And we'll do the birthdays again next week.
Hi, this is Siegfried Y from the Hong Kong Grey Club, and this is the 8 for 52 podcast with Bushy.
So that brings us to the end of episode 9, season 2 of the 8 for 52 podcast. Oh, it's an exciting week for everyone involved in cricket in Hong Kong, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an exciting week. Going to be a busy week, but looking forward to Friday to get things kicked off with the Sixes.
You got training on Wednesday. There's the welcome drinks party here at HKCC Thursday evening. Just in case you're listening, I'm putting this out on Thursday. It's invite only. Don't invite yourself to the Sixers welcome drinks and party, otherwise I'll get in a lot of trouble. Yeah. I think I'm coming. I think I'm invited. I may be the gatecrasher after all that. And then the game start. You're on the first game Friday morning, bright and early, 8:30.
Yeah.
And we're going to see you in action. Benny Parasinghe, Imran Arif, Jason Loy, and then the three Hong Kong China players, Nazaka Khan, Zeeshan Ali, and Ahsan Khan. So what a team. I'm so excited to see you get a game for Hong Kong. And so maybe in 2.5 years. You've only been here for a season and a month, right?
Yeah, I came here in October last year.
It's been a year. And it took you a year, smashed a heap of runs. You're back bowling as well. I'm getting very, very sidetracked, but I wanted to point out that you said you wouldn't come on the podcast until you started making runs and getting wickets, and you did that about 2 weeks ago, got both, and I'm like, right, you're back on the podcast. And he's like, oh, I suppose I have to now.
Back on.
It's the Big Sixes. We're looking forward to it. There's not much else going on in cricket in Hong Kong, so we're going to get down there, get your tickets. We will see you bright and early on Friday. That's it for the 8 for 52 podcast. Thank you again.
Thanks for having me on, Bushy. I'll see you on Friday.
See ya.
The 8 for 52 theme song is The Coin Toss from the band The Duckworth Lewis Method. Find them on Apple iTunes and YouTube and download that song and all their other cricket-related music.
The 8 for 52 podcast is edited, produced and published by Matt Botfield and Aaron Bush for Trip Ahead Limited. Copyright 2024. I think I'm going for a bat. And that's that.